with Dr. Keith Suter.
Pleased to say Dr. Keith Suter joins me on the phone this afternoon from Global Directions. Hello, Keith.
Yes, good afternoon, Brent.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good. Today we're going to talk about what's going on in Paris. They're closing the Eiffel Tower in Paris on Saturday because of fears of further street violence from yellow vest anti-government protests. Keith, have they ever done this before? Have they ever closed the Eiffel Tower in direct regard because of protests?
Well, for those of us who have a long memory, we were seeing the same sort of thing 50 years ago, almost exactly to this month. And people remember the events of May 1968, if you're a particular age group, as I am. But it is very rare to have this level of violence and all of the developments that are taking place in Paris. If you remember, Emmanuel Macron was this incredible politician who was elected a year and a half ago to become the president of France, came virtually out of nowhere, created his own political party, then managed to get the political party into the French Parliament, the Assembly. Many of the people there having no previous political experience, but they just put their hand up and they said, all right, I'll be a candidate, and they got elected. So we saw a revolution there, but for me what is interesting is the problem of whether or not a democracy can really put through major reforms. Clearly, the French economy has got major problems, as have all the economies in Western Europe. A basic one, for example, would be the shortage of jobs, because clearly computers are coming along, taking a lot of jobs, so there's a shortage of jobs. Another one is the fact that people are retiring too early, and the problem for the government in trying to finance it. Under French retirement legislation, if you're a salaried worker or a civil servant, when you retire, and you can retire at the age of 61, you are then guaranteed for the rest of your life 50% of whatever was your final salary. This comes out of the government budget.
Gee.
Exactly. My reaction, it's a retirement paradise.
I'm moving next
week.
You
know, when you think about Americans who've lost their life savings because they were on the staff of Enron and Enron collapsed, that could not happen in France.
Right.
You know, the idea of leaving pensions to the market, as we're also doing to a large extent now in Australia with our superannuation system, in France it is all underwritten by the government.
So
Macron is trying to reduce this, but of course people are resisting.
Yeah, so if you're earning 200,000 euros, I suppose, when you retire at 61, the government guarantee for the rest of your life they'll pay you 100,000 euros.
That's it. Yep.
Wow.
And remember, we've now got life expectancy. When the Germans invented the retirement system, the German Chancellor put the retirement date as being 65. The average German worker died at the age of 50. So really, Bismarck wasn't giving much away. Mm. Whereas now, people routinely live long enough, you know, into their 70s, 80s. It's interesting, in Japan, Mr. Abe, the Prime Minister, is talking about Japanese people routinely now going to live to reach the age of 100.
Right.
And so we obviously have an age crisis there. Also, Macron has tried to introduce a more of a tax on fuel to discourage people from driving so much. But the problem is people do drive because they've got to go to work.
Yeah.
And a lot of the riots are not only occurring around central Paris, which is where all the media are, but also locally. And it's also within those local areas there's a lot of resentment for people who say not enough of the wealth of Paris is trickling down to the regions, and now you want to make it more difficult for us to get to work.
I see 89,000 police officers are going to be on duty and armoured vehicles will be deployed. This is just in the capital. 89,000 police officers.
Well, they're very worried about what is going on, because the other problem, which they also had for a while in May 1968, is that there were no clear leaders. Ultimately, the French trade unions, which were then very powerful, got involved, and so President de Gaulle, back in 1968, was able to negotiate with the union leaders and take the situation off the boil with the government backing down. In the current situation, the problem for Macron is that no one seems to lead the crowd. It was a group formed via Facebook, and people just turn up quite spontaneously at weekends. They're at work during the weekdays. It's only at weekends they do the rioting.
So the Eiffel Tower is going to be shut down. Police have urged shops and restaurants on the Champs-Élysées to shut down, museums to close. In other words, just shut the CBD of Paris down.
Yes, as a way of trying to reduce risk, because we've had all sorts of violence. It is a very worrying situation. Remember, this guy was incredibly popular. He was the wonder boy of European politics, in the same way, of course, Mrs. Mark, Angela Merkel, was seen as the wonder woman of European politics. She's on the way out. Emmanuel Macron's moment of glory has lasted only about a year and a half.
So this protesting over education reforms as well.
Yeah, because, again, he wants to introduce reform. Now, this is a dilemma, as I say. The problem for a democracy is, can you actually introduce reforms without the people turning against you? Everybody's in favour of reforming right. until it affects them.
Yes.
And then suddenly they say, oh, no, that's not what I meant. And thus we have this crisis within France, which is a major economy.
Who are the protesters?
Well, that's part of the problem. We're not sure who they all are. Some are on the left and some are on the right.
Gosh.
So so there's no clear program, except they don't like what the government's proposing. And what the government is proposing is in line with what it went to the election with a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And there's pictures here in the article that I've got, you know, cars turned upside down, being, set alight. Goodness me, it's not quite protesting either. It's aggressive and angry protests.
It is indeed, and that's why you've got all the police out on the streets, because in that sort of situation, all sorts of things can flare up and out of control.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens on the weekend. Can I ask you a quick question? The Brexit situation, is there a possibility that this could all be reversed now?
Who knows? We need to await the outcome of the vote on the 11th of December, which is Tuesday, and then we may end up with a new Prime Minister after
right,
the vote.
Yes.
We simply have no idea what's going to happen. And on present indications, it looks as though Mrs. May will lose that vote. She may well say, look, I've had a couple of years, I've given it all, it's now up to somebody else. So we might end up with further chaos, we might end up with another general election, in which case it may well be a Labour government in power, and Labour is divided over the issue as well. Or it may well be that we have another referendum and hopefully end up with people voting to remain, and therefore they can withdraw the notice that they wish to withdraw from the European Union. They will just simply say, sorry, we've had 2 years of madness, but now we've decided we want to remain with the European Union. There'll be a lot of unhappy people if they do that.
If they were to have another referendum, of course, voting is not compulsory. One would assume, one can only assume, of course, that there would be more people turn out to have their say this time round.
Absolutely, and particularly the young people. The young people didn't bother to vote on the referendum. Then they were horrified at the result, because most young people are in favour of remaining. It was the older people who wanted to leave the European Union. So the youngsters will next time round definitely be out to vote, and that'll probably swing it in favour of wanting to remain within the European Union. But we've had 2 years of chaos. I've just come back from London, and the only thing people can talk about is Brexit.
Really?
So Britain has lost 2 years of its life arguing over Brexit.
Yeah. Goodness. All right. We might talk to you next week after December 11th.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Keith. Have a nice weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Good. Thank you very much.
Bye. That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions.